Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning into the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be diving into some NFL. Another statement by the Chiefs this week. They're back. Not that they ever weren't there, but for some reason people thought they weren't. But Chiefs are back. Bears are not. Steelers are not. Some interesting matchups in week four. We'll cover that in a segment. We're going to dive into some White Sox as Tony La Russa finally announces his retirement today as the Sockie season comes to a close. Pretty anticlimactic end of the season. Tony La Russa hasn't been with the White Sox for the last month or so, so no surprise there. Health concerns, that's what they're saying. So Tony La Russa out. Where do the White Sox go from here? Of course, we have our Fichtner Cup Fantasy League of Champions segment to end the pod. Lots to get to today. Let's get to it. Riddle Me That is brought to you by PointsBet. If you haven't done so already, download the code YoungCS13. That's YoungCS13. That's a promo code for PointsBet. If you're a new user, you can download it right off your phone. You don't even have to go into the casinos anymore. You get two risk-free bets, one standard bet, one points bet. I did it. All my friends have done it. It's a good deal if you're looking to get back into the betting game. NFL week four. Another one of those weeks where a couple good games and a lot of slop. A lot of slop right now. That's the theme of the NFL. Teams are still, you know, it's still early. Teams are trying to figure it out. You know, some of them have rookie quarterbacks that are waiting to come in, like the Steelers, Kenny Pickett making his first appearance in the NFL. Two rushing touchdowns from the one-yard line, but three picks. Those are his three incompletions were the interceptions from Kenny Pickett. So Steelers, you know, in a weird spot right now. You know, started the game with Mitch, didn't look good, went to Kenny, and that's where they're at right now, losing to the Jets. Jets coming back. Who are up, you know, 10-6, then blew the lead, down 10, then two scores to end the game. It's not how you want to end if you're Pittsburgh, especially at home. They definitely don't lose too many games to the Jets at home. Nobody does. Bears, Giants, I mean, I watched too much of that game on Sunday. Bears actually looked pretty decent. Giants, I guess, looked decent as well, but Bears had so many chances to win that game. That muff punt at the end by Velus Jones Jr., shout out the commissioner. I mean, that just can't happen. And then, of course, you know, the Giants missed the field goal, can't ice the game, so the Bears get one last play with 8 seconds left. Just a stupid 45-second pitch play that ended in probably no gain, I think, the ball. I mean, they actually made some progress on the last play, but ultimately made it back to where they snapped the ball at the 20-yard line. But, you know, Danny Dimes, two rushing touchdowns, nobody helping on the left side of the field. I don't know how that – I mean, the non-biased announcers on Fox were like, how is that happening? There's no way Danny Dimes is getting two rushing touchdowns, or nor should that ever happen. So question marks on the Bears' D, and on the offense. The Khalil Herbert had a couple nice runs. Fields looked better throwing the ball, but ultimately – I mean – people are, like, trying to take shots at Fields. Like, I understand maybe, you know, he's not the prodigy yet that we are hoping for, but I mean, he has literally no weapons. I can barely name you a receiver besides Mooney on that team. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. You know, no tight end. Cole Kmet's pretty much non-existent. Maybe he did some stuff during that game when I switched over to red zone, which I had most of the time, but I didn't see him do anything. Just a weird team. You know, the defense actually looked pretty decent, you know, most of the game, but then, you know, they make bad plays. Like, Danny Dimes, two rushing touchdowns. Like, that should never happen, like I said. So, you know, just classic Bears football. Giants moving to 3-1. That's disgusting. Bears 2-2. They're surely to fall soon. Their schedule's been pretty light start this season. So, but, you know, moving to a good game that was played, you know, the Bills and the Ravens. That's some sharp action going on at noon here. Ravens taking the early lead, looking good. The Ravens have developed this habit to go up by numerous touchdowns and then not be able to score the rest of the game, and then the other team coming back. That happened against the Dolphins. It's now happened. It almost happened against the Jets week one. I feel like the Jets kind of hung around. I mean, the Ravens took care of business, but they were up by a lot and let them get back into it. So I don't know if they're taking their foot off the gas pedal or what, but they, you know, they're good, though. I mean, Lamar Jackson might be having his best season ever right now as a quarterback. So it definitely, you know, the Ravens are in good shape. They just got to stay healthy. Dobbins looks pretty good. But their defense is, it's weird because they're good, but then they seem to slow up at the end of the game. Granted, they are playing the Bills, who have probably the best offense in the league, or at least, you know, top three offense. So credit to the Bills at the end of that game. Josh Allen having a couple clutch drives at the end of the game. And the Bills, I mean, they're, you know, it's hard not to root for the Bills. I mean, the Bills were so bad for so long, and now they're actually a dominant force in the NFL. And it's, I have nothing against the Bills. If they make a run, I'd root for them, right? I think Buffalo has cool fan base, with their tailgating and whatnot. You know, they seem like a loyal fan base. So credit to Buffalo. I like Buffalo. I hope they make a run. I'm also picking them for Survivor next week. 14-point favorites against Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's in Buffalo. I hate the spread, 14. I don't think I'm taking that, but I'm definitely taking them for Survivor just to win. I'm sure most people are. But I'm not going to, you know, people say, oh, we don't want to use your good teams too early. Well, you have to go week by week for Survivor. You don't know when your time's going to be done. So why not use the good teams while they're still out there? You know, I don't know if there'll ever be a Buffalo 14-point spread again for a while. So I'm taking them. I will definitely lose on that, that's for sure. Another game in the noon slate that was interesting was the Jaguars and Eagles. Eagles were my Survivor pick last week. Losing 14-0 right off the bat. You know, a sloppy pick six. Jaguars had a good first drive. It's pouring rain in Philly. You're like, uh-oh. The Eagles just fucking turned it around. Hurts had a clutch rushing touchdown. And then, you know, proceeded to score the next 20 points. And then the Eagles ended up winning by, I think, 8. It was 29-21. I covered the 6.5 spread if you took them. I didn't. But I did have them for Survivor. So nice win there. But the Eagles, man, only undefeated team in the league right now. Hurts looking like an MVP. You know, front runner right there with Lamar, you know, Josh Allen, Mahomes. I mean, who's going to win MVP this year? It's going to be crazy. I guess Lamar's drop, you know, status kind of dropped after blowing that game to Buffalo. But, I mean, he's still right there. But that was, you know, Eagles are for real. I think that was a true test because I think the Jaguars are pretty good. You know, but Trevor Lawrence, man, 4 fumbles and a pick. Yikes. I mean, it was pouring rain, but that, I mean, man, most of those fumbles were like strip sacks. I mean, the Eagles defense looks legit. That definitely the biggest challenge for Jacksonville so far might have been the Eagles did beat the Vikings, who I think are better than the Jaguars, but, you know, primetime Kirk Cousins, we all know that goes in Philly. Eagles look like they're going to be legit as long as they stay healthy. I like that team. You know, good. Also, you know, I think Bears fans will never forgive the Eagles for the double doink. Not that it was their fault, but, I mean, the Eagles did advance. So it's like, you know, I'm not an Eagles fan, but good fan base as well. I mean, they're loyal. They've been through a lot, too. I mean, they're usually pretty good, but they've had their ups and downs. So fly, Eagles, fly. I like that team as well to compete for a Super Bowl this year. To the 3 o'clock slate here, Raiders, Denver. Raiders got their first win this year. Denver is just a weird team. I mean, you just kind of felt like the Raiders were going to win that game, but the Raiders did everything they could to blow that game, could not finish it off, eventually did. The big storyline in that game was Javonte Williams going down for the season. Pretty much tore everything in his leg. I mean, poor guy. That's why you can't pick Broncos fantasy players, because they just are all glass. And they're all good. So it's frustrating. He's like, ooh, you're like, Javonte, Judy, right? And then they're just like, oh, well, fuck me. I'm out for the season. But, you know, Raiders getting that first win. Don't want to be 0-4, that's for sure. You know, don't want to be 0-3, but 0-4 is just a whole different level. So interesting game there. Cardinals taking care of business at Carolina. Cardinals looking way better. I mean, it is Carolina, but Carolina's getting some sort of hype. I don't know why. They're not very good. But I guess still a tough place to play, but Cardinals took care of business. Patriots at Green Bay, that was kind of the game of the day, I think. You know, Patriots down a starting quarterback, having to start Hoyer, then losing him, had to go to Brady or Zapp, whoever Zapp is, right? Comes in, you know, does a pretty good job. The Pats defense held up as much as they could, took the Packers to OT, you know, had first and 10 at the 50, right? In overtime. And they just couldn't do it. So good hold by Green Bay. Definitely, I mean, Patriots, man, you 10-point underdogs. I mean, are you kidding me? What the hell is that? Well, you know, that's just preposterous in my mind. So, you know, Patriots definitely play with the chip on their shoulder. Probably did as good as they could against Green Bay, but really good game. I don't know how the Packers won, but they usually end up winning those close home games in overtime, I feel like. So good win for them. And then the Sunday night game, Tampa and Kansas City, Mahomes putting on the show of a lifetime. I don't know why we all bet on the Bucs. I mean, I felt like an idiot. It was the most painful game, I think, to watch, because you knew that, you know, they fumbled the kickoff return, Chiefs scored in a second, Mahomes looked unstoppable. The Bucs offense actually didn't look that bad. It was just too late because they're, I mean, Mahomes was going to score every drive, essentially. So, and then the one time that the Bucs stopped him on a drop pass from Clyde on fourth down, they fumbled the first play. So Bucks fucked themselves. Chiefs looked really good. Mahomes looked like front runner for the MVP as well. I keep saying front runner. I just mean like front runner as top, you know, 3-4 right now. We're still so early. You know, someone's going to, or at least one or two players are probably going to run away with this. So interesting. You know, that's probably the most interesting thing right now, the MVP debate right now. There's some good players out there. So keep an eye on them the next few weeks. As the weeks get juicier, baby. So I want to dive into the White Sox a little bit. Sockies. Not as many segments as I'd like to have on them, as there's nothing really to say, as they were eliminated last week from the playoffs, finally, against the Guardians, who just really kicked their ass all season. Really disappointing season for the White Sox. Highlighted a lot by a lot of Tony La Russa's bad managerial decisions. I tried to give the man the benefit of the doubt. I really did. Not that I should have. I just, you know, you don't really have a choice as a fan. You know, you know, my whatever I complain about, Tony Hahn isn't going to take it into consideration. So, you know, you have what you have. You got to stick with it. But, man, was he a bad manager. Especially this last year. In my opinion, he got lucky with that first season. You know, I feel like the team just performed really well. He still made a lot of mistakes, you know, pitching decisions-wise and lineups-wise. And he would change the lineup so unorthodoxly, I feel like, last year. He gives up a lot of series. You know, he puts in scrubs the third game, which I really don't get. What is that mentality? Basically, you're confident in your team that you don't, that you're going to win enough games that you don't care about these games, like, earlier on. No, he would do it, like, midway through the season. He would just bench all starters and almost try to lose. And I just don't get what that's doing. Every game matters, especially being in a close, you know, division. And of course, you know, there he goes. The last month of the season, he's not healthy. We still don't know what's wrong with him. You know, he's probably really sick. He's really old. I mean, we always joke about him dying in the dugout. Well, that probably could have happened. I mean, he wasn't there the last month of the season. And then just retires, thank God. But like, no shit. Like, where was this? Why was he the manager this season on the White Sox? You know, I really, you know, discredit the White Sox organization a lot after this season. I felt like it was just an embarrassment. You know, we were supposed to be right there again to compete for a World Series, and they just really never showed that to us this season. You know, after losing, I think, 10 or 11 early in the season, it's just sad. It's like, God, like, that's what we get this year, having this roster that's so good. But you know what? We couldn't stay healthy. I read a stat there. The first team in Major League history, I think, to have an injury at every part of the body or something. Like, what kind of stat is that? And that's no, but that's no excuses. I mean, we made stupid mistakes all season. We had no defense. I mean, errors, people being hurt did not affect our errors in the field. Just an atrociousness on that side of the field this year, not helping out our pitchers. I thought Yoan Moncada was just bad. He made a lot of dumb plays. Jose Abreu, another great season. I give him credit. I give credit to Elvis Andrus that's come over to the Sox, you know, trying to make the playoffs as a player. You know, gave us his all for that month he was here. TA went down, which really hurt. You know, that did hurt. I thought Yasmani Grandal was pathetic. He's the worst catcher of the league. He can't run. He can't throw people out. He can't hit. Right? Where do you put him? I mean, our catching is, you know, our catcher spot ever since Adrian Brzezinski, you know, for the last 15 years has been terrible. So, you know, this is my chance to get it all out now because I held it in. I gave it everything I had. We all did as a fan base. We really did. You know, I gave them 130, 140 games to figure it out, and they couldn't do it. So here we are analyzing what went wrong. And it's just a lot of not clutch hitting, too, by the Sox. I mean, every time they had, man, oh, you need to run bad. They couldn't do it. And, you know, and that drop by Engel and foul ground at Baltimore and having that guy hit a home run the next play. I mean, there's some things that happened this year that, you know, the Sox had the most outs with high exit velocities in the league or something like that. Like, they hit the ball hard and couldn't find the dirt. But that's what happens when you're a shit team, right? You don't get breaks when you're bad. And that's what the Sox were this year. They're bad. And they're just, you know, I felt like they were going through the motions. They were cocky, right? That's what they were saying. They had all these player-only meetings, and you thought they'd turn around. They never really could. Never really could get past that hump. The Guardians, of course, would get hot every time we did, which didn't help. But we, you know, that series to the Guardians, blowing that 8-2 lead, I felt like that was the season. You can't blow an 8-2 lead against a division rival like that. That pretty much set the tone for the series or the season. Right, and so there's just so many things I could go to. I mean, I think on 6-7 their score, they listed 20 games where some weird thing happened that should not happen that cost them the game. So there, you know, there you have it right there. So, you know, hopefully the Sockies rebound next year. It's hard, man, as a fan. You put all that in, and you're like, wow, like now we're like, are we going in the wrong direction again? Are we going to have 1 year after we rebuild for seasons? Right, and then we're going to collapse. I don't know what we're going to do. I hope we get a good manager. I think that's the first step in the right direction. Get a good manager, and we'll see where we go from there. But disappointing end of the Sockie season. Thank God La Russa is out, though. I mean, I think he's going to croak. So they really didn't have a choice to force him to retire. But, you know, not going to be remembered as one of the White Sox greats. That's for damn sure. My thing of the week this week. I'm taking it to the Lord of the Rings. You know I did a couple weeks ago the Lord of the Rings Ring of Power show on Amazon. What sparked me to watch this was from that. Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. I watched The Fellowship and The Two Towers last week after I was just, you know, after like the fifth episode of that, you know, the prequel, I was like, wow, I got to watch the, you know, the originals. And they're just as good as I remembered. That battle at, you know, for Helm's Deep and Two Towers is just an unbelievable battle scene. Just, you know, the storylines add up. You know, I really wanted to see like how good of a job and how accurate this prequel is, you know, The Ring of Powers, and it's right on. Like, I've actually learned so much now of, you know, they talk a lot about, you know, the things happening in the show, you know, in the movie that, you know, that you don't know because, you know, they're just talking about it like it's in the past. Like, now it's like everything's connecting. So I get why they made this show, like, you know, from the start. I mean, I think obviously it's a money grab, but it's also like, you know, the audience can now understand how things shaped up to be, you know, how Mordor became Mordor. You know, it's crazy. Like, I mean, it's all like superficial things that are happening, but it's cool to see how they're happening. So go back and watch. If you're watching the show, go back and watch the original movies. It's almost better now than it was before. So Two Towers, Fellowship of the Ring, Return of the King. Have yourself a day. Back to back to back. Watch them. They're so good. It's now time for my favorite segment on the Riddle Me That podcast. It's the Fantasy Fichtner Cup League of Champions. It's the only league that we know. It's what you wake up to first thing. It's what you go to bed with. It's like a ritual. And we're all in it together. But a lot of turmoil in this league's caliber this year. I feel like tensions are high. Everyone wants to win, right? And it's just so funny that we base our shit talking nowadays based on our fantasy lineups. It sounds, you know, legitimate when you're in the league, but when you like think about it, like some of the things that are said and the things that are done. I just want to give a quick shout out to Liam's tent, Mike Nasser, for downing those dogs. He's not done with the dogs. He has more dogs to be eaten. This is the punishment from last year that we just kind of came up with. He has to eat like a million hot dogs. He actually had, and since the Buccaneers lost to the Chiefs, a little side bet with the barely legals, he added 5 more dogs to his repertoire. So proud of you, Nasser. Don't lose, and you don't have to eat and stuff your colon with meat. But let's get right to it, to the matchups from week 4 of last week. And like I said, a lot of turmoil, a lot of shit being thrown at each other, but that's why we love it. It's why we do it. And let's start off with one of the more grosser matchups on the week, the commissioner taking on Big Sam, who still hasn't changed his name from the Titties, but he's Big Sam, getting the loss, 106.52 to 91. The commissioner moves to 2-2. Big Sam moving to 1-3. Not a lot of strength in his running backs here. You know, the big thing was he was starting Nyheim Hines over Taylor. He decided to start both, but both ended up with 4.1 combined. That's just not going to get it done. Starting Evan Ingram over Hockenson, which would have won him the matchup. Ingram with 2, Hockenson with about 40. Best game of his life. Cooper with 1 in the flex. And then the commissioner, big Jared Goff day, 33. Pretty much won him the matchup. A lot of grossness other than that. Mixed him with 15. And then A.J. Brown with 12. Juju doing his dance with 7. Gibson with 7. So not, you know, easy win for the commissioner. 106 and 91 over Big Sam. Which I guess, you know, commissioner will think that puts him back in the running. It doesn't really do that as he beats someone that, you know, as I said, starting the whole Colts backfield as the running backs. A lot of questions there. The barely legals taking it to Junglin, Poon Chaser, Soon Coon, Saloon, Chaser, Poons, 126 to 115. It was a close matchup. Junglin was trying to counter last night, but too much from Higbee with 10 receptions. Rams didn't do anything with it. Matt Gay with 9. So that one, Klein hands the matchup. Great week from Justin Jefferson in London. 147 yards, 10 receptions. And then, you know, good performance from, you know, the Chasers. Putting up 115, 19 from Kelsey. 15 and 13 for Williams and Sutton, other receivers. Herbert 21, Denver D 11. Koo for 12. But ultimately not enough firepower from his running backs. Javonte Williams going down pretty much lost him that matchup. Both teams moving to 2-2. I like where that is. You know, two playoff contending teams. Legal is really needing a win to get back into it. So huge for them. Both moving to 2-2. That's 3 teams, 2-2 so far. So you're seeing a trend here. Riddle's Revenge Tour, RMT, getting the Fat D from the flash of 2018 bums, you know, a week 3 name change, always risky. Really working out for him week 4. Putting up 137. Sanders with 28 in the flex. Eckler 31. Mahomes 23 doing his dance. And just not enough firepower from the revenge tours. Chase and Waddle really dudding it out on Thursday. Tough Thursday night matchup to have both those guys going. Damian Pierce, 130 yards in the TD. That's his one bright spot of the week, putting up 23. Lamar and Fournette, 13 and 14. Fournette with negative 3 rushing yards, but a receiving touchdown. So that's a little weird out in Tampa, but it's all right. Tough playing an 0-3 team. First loss of the year for the Revenge Tours. Will the Flaccid Bums get it going now? I mean, that's a huge, huge first win there with the name change. Might be trending in the right direction. Don't count the Bums out. We go to another matchup here where someone got their first win, and that was Liam's Tent. Giving Caputo's just everything he's got. 132-70. Caputo starting Kamara, did not get up in time to change that for the London game. That's bad managing. Gabe Davis with 1.8, McLaurin 2.5, so not good out of your receiving corps. Mark Andrews for 2. Kind of just a dead week for the Caputos, moving them to 2-2, moving Liam's Tent to 1-3. So both the 0-3 teams putting up 130s this week, needing it. Debo and Jamal Williams doing their dance, 20 and 23. McCaffrey 21, Murray 22. He did say, you know, CeeDee Lamb 18, he did say that, you know, his team is stars and they just haven't shown it yet. Well, they showed it this week, so it was a great win by the Tents. I think part of it doing this punishment so far, or doing part of it, gave him good karma. So if he keeps eating those dogs, I think he's going to spread out the dogs. So if he keeps eating dogs each week, it's going to give him confidence going into the next. So I like where Nasser's head's at there. Huge win for him, moving him to 1-3. And then the matchup of the week here. Personal matchup here, the Tatas and Dan Fernando's Vegas Sun coming down to the wire last night. San Fran D with 22, outscoring Cooper Kupp by 3. It was really pretty much tied. I think Holman maybe had a slight lead. San Fran D pick 6 in the fourth quarter to give Cha-Cha-Cha a huge win. I told you last week, take the spread, take the money line. It's just one of those things where there's just too much going on in Vegas right now for the Tatas. I mean, they've had a great season so far. Not a bad week last week. Just ran into a buzzsaw with Fernando's Vegas Sun. Making a statement in this league with the Rebuttal Podcast. Now being 3-1 after starting 0-1. So watch out for Big Ticket Review. There's something going on in Vegas right now. And a lot of people want to be a part of it. Which leads us into the Week 5 power rankings here. And we're going to start from the bottom. At number 10, it's someone that should have been there last week and was too high in the rankings. We have Big Sam coming in at 1-3. Just, you know, not showing the heart this year. It all started at the draft, being on the boat, I think, giving him trades. So Big Sam, 1-3, not an impressive start for him. Going to have to find another running back. So we'll see who that is. Number 9. We have Liam's Tent moving up from 10 to 9. Huge win over Nato. But ultimately with Team Koff coming in at number 8, getting that win over RMT, it only moves you up one spot. So Liam's Tent at number 9. And the Flaccid Bums coming in at number 8 with a huge win over RMT, putting him back on the map. At number 7, we have the Commish. Commish got a win over Big Sam. Could have gotten a win over Big Sam this week. So not too impressive of a win. The Commish coming in at 7, which they were at last week, at 2-2. At number 6, we have someone that dropped a spot or two. We have Luke Liebert, the Yuengling Poon Chasers. At number 6, tough loss to the Barely Legals, but he's still in the playoff contention at 2-2. Just gonna have to bounce back next week. That's what the Fick League's all about, right? Bouncing back. Number 5, we have Minneapolis Mike Caputo's getting a rough loss to Liam's Tent, only putting up 70, dropping him 2 spots to number 5 at 2-2. At number 4, we have Matthew Kleinhans, the Barely Legals, moving up 2 spots to number 6, number 4, putting up 126. Huge win over Lebo. It's a huge head-to-head matchup down the stretch, so that's a big win to have. He's been back and forth between 4 and 6 this year. I like where he's at. He's kind of just he bounces back. Let's see if he goes on a little run now. At number 3, we have Riddle's Revenge Tour RMT himself. Was at number 3 last week. Coming off a tough loss to the Bums. Kind of ran into a buzzsaw being 3-0, playing an 0-3 team. Never easy. But being 3-1, everyone else from 4 to 7 being 2-2. We got to keep RMT at 3. One bad loss is not going to define a season. And number 2, we have someone that started off low on the power rankings. May's Rebuttal Podcast made his point. We have Fox News, Big Ticket Review, Nick Pastuovic, Dan Fernandez, Vegas Sun, huge win over the number one team in the rankings. I wanted to put him number one, but I'm keeping Holman at one this week. Ethan Holman coming at number one. Him and Ticket are both 3-1. You can argue that you can put Ticket at one due to the head-to-head matchup. But being the number one team and losing to the 5 team in the power rankings from last week, I feel like one, you know, being number one every week and then having one loss, right? I don't think is fair to drop you to number two. So I'm keeping you number one this week. People may disagree with that. That's okay. People can think whatever they want. It's my rankings. Ticket might be salty about it. But hey, you're number two. I mean, I feel like if anything, number two is not the worst place to be. Mr. Nick Pastuovic. So there you have it. Week 5 power rankings. Now let's go into our quickly my predictions for next week. And here we go. With the first matchup here, we have Luke Liebert, Poon Chasers taking on the Tatas. Both projected right around the same. I'm taking the Tatas here. Both need a bounce back win here. I think the Tatas get it done after a heartbreaking loss to Ticket. I think it's just a little too much offense for Sukun Poon Chasers. Big Sam taking on the Barely Legals. I'm taking the Legals in this matchup. Straight chalk here. I think Big Sam is in a rough spot right now, and I think the Legals are on to something. Huge win this week. I expect him to keep it going. RMT taking on the Commissioner. This is a nice matchup here. I like RMT here. I think the Commissioner had a nice, easy win over Big Sam. Let's see if he can bring it again 2 weeks in a row. Someone that talks about his love for the league. Let's see it. RMT coming off a tough loss. I like RMT in a bounce-back fashion. Minneapolis Mike Caputo's taking on Dan Fernandez Vegas Sun. Very interesting matchup here. I like the Caputos in this matchup. I think Vegas Sun's had a nice little run here, and he's going to, you know, continue it. Like, he's a playoff team, but I think Minneapolis needs a win so bad. It would move both of them to 3-2. I like the Caputos in this matchup. I like the Caputos in bounce-back fashion. And then last matchup here, we have Liam's Tent taking on Team Flaccid Bums, 2018 Flaccid Bums. Two teams getting their first win of the season. Someone's going to move to 2-3. And I'm taking the Tents here. Team Cough Daddy, huge win. Or the Bums, I should say. Tents, huge win. I think with the hot dog, it's tough to play someone that's eating dogs. And Nasser's wolfing down dogs right now. I like where Nasser's at. I'm taking Liam's Tent in a pick'em. That's all the time we have today on the Real Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. A huge weekend of football, MLB playoffs. I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend. So we're going to be swimming it up, making bets, hitting the tables. Going to be an awesome weekend. D-Lo, Santanzo, let's get it done. I love you all. Enjoy your weekend. I will see you guys next week. Riddle Daddy, he's out.